good evening, everyone. Glad you're here tonight. If you're here for the first time to Friends Church, welcome. You got dragged out by family, maybe, obligated under a lot of threats. Glad you made it, regardless, whatever your motivation was. We hope this evening will be enjoyable for you. Can we just be honest? Christmas Eve is probably one of the most romanticized, nostalgic, sentimental kind of festivities in the Christian calendar, isn't it? I mean, it really is. It's kind of this celebration of what seems like this idyllic event. People get all cleaned up and, you know, family and friends maybe make the annual pilgrimage back to church. And we come in and we start singing these beautiful carols of a little baby under this starlit night, this holy night, in this cozy little village of Bethlehem. I mean, it just seems so perfect, doesn't it? At least that's the way it looks on the cards and in the storefront. But was it really like that much of a romantic story? Was it that idyllic? Was it this tranquil, serene experience lived out 2,000 years ago? Actually, if you dig quite just below the surface, not even that deep, you begin to find the story isn't really quite as serene as you would expect. It wasn't as beautiful and picturesque as you could maybe allow your imagination to become. It was actually a story that had a lot of darkness and struggle. It had a lot of humanity actually wrapped throughout it. You start looking at the story and you begin to realize that this story doesn't look like some kind of fairy tale that we read to children at night. But actually, it looks a lot like parts of our world today, 2018. And probably within the story of human suffering and struggle and wrestling and question, you begin to find a story that happened 2,000 years ago that actually probably looks and feels a lot like some of our stories that we have been walking out day in and day out over even maybe this last year. And I don't think that's a bad thing. In fact, I think that's a wonderful thing. Because to me, it seems the more that story that we talk about on an evening like tonight, the more that story kind of looks a little bit like my story, the more I think I can listen into this story to see what it might be saying even to me now, tonight, this Christmas. So I think that's the challenge for us tonight. I know that, hey, it's nice tradition. And if you're here and this is kind of part of your family tradition and this is what we always do every Christmas Eve and we sing songs and that's great. That's awesome. But maybe it could be more. Maybe this evening can spark a conversation. Maybe it can spark an internal conversation with you about something that's deeper, that's about you and about the divine and about your role in this place in time. That's what we're hoping for. So, accept that as a little challenge tonight. We got 50 minutes, and then you're in and out, all right? So if you're here and you're going, oh, geez, the doors never lock, right? So, and there's wine. I don't know what more we can do to settle you down. We got wine and Bailey's, and how many have already helped themselves to that? Okay, good, good. Don't be shy. That's all right. Just be responsible. Look at the band are going to sing, and as they sing, please feel free to sing along, join in, and allow your ears and your eyes to be open to a deeper story tonight.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. This can be a very comforting and beautiful story for those who were brought up with it. But for those who weren't, it just looks a little bit messy and confusing. A young, single woman is pregnant, her fiancé heartbroken. They needed some time and space to figure it all out, but that's not what they got. Instead, they traveled a week by foot, and when they arrived at their destination, there wasn't anywhere for them to stay. They were exhausted, and the baby was coming soon. Most of us will never have to face a holiday season like that, but this time of year is still difficult. So what are some of the questions we ask ourselves as we prepare for that big day? What are our expectations? Do we expect perfection? The perfect tree? The perfect meal? Maybe even the perfect family? Life is just plain messy, isn't it? Can we be open to that? Or do we continue to fight against what is? In the Jesus story, they came across one mess after another. First, Joseph believes that Mary's cheated on him, and he wants out. Next, traveling for a week on foot. Then, to top it all off, Jesus is believed to be a threat to the empire. The nativity picture that we have all become so familiar with is not an accurate depiction of the messiness of this time of year, is it? So we ask ourselves, can we just relax into the messiness of this season? The messiness of being with people. The messiness of possible unmet expectations. Or the messiness of a tradition that doesn't hold the meaning that it used to. How would things be different if we could just accept the messiness of life? Perfection, is that a realistic goal? What would happen if we could let go of that as well? What would your life look like?
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Sounds like the usual start to the Christmas story. But it wasn't a nice little introduction. It was a protest statement, protesting an empire that didn't care about its people, the rich getting ahead on the suffering of the poor. And while that empire existed in the time of Jesus' birth, we have an empire today, don't we? People and groups that get ahead on the suffering of others. And so we ask ourselves this Christmas, are we part of that empire? What areas of our lives are we getting ahead on the suffering of others? Where are we standing on the backs of the poor? And not just the financially poor, all kinds of poor people, the relationally poor, emotionally poor, those who are poor in community and connection. Are we controlling the people we love by refusing to forgive? Are we using emotions to manipulate? Are we spending our time, our energy, and our resources in a way that's good for us, but not good for the people around us? Jesus had a much different message. He's recorded as saying, I have come for the poor and the brokenhearted. I've come for those who are suffering. I've come for those in need. And so today, as we celebrate Christmas, we're drawn to ask, are we supporting the empire? Are we living in selfishness, narcissism? Or are we helping those in need? Making decisions that benefit us, but also the people around us. The Christmas story was set in a time of need, but aren't we living in a time of need as well?
You'll find the baby Jesus in Bethlehem, laying in a manger. And all this was to connect this story with the older stories of our tradition. Look, a virgin will conceive a child, and she'll give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's an ancient story told much before the Christmas story. It's about a regular guy named Jacob, kind of like us. And he's way outside of his comfort zone, way outside. He's in an area that he's never been to before. There's no one else around. He's all alone. And so he falls asleep at night, and he has a dream. And in that dream is one of the most iconic Led Zeppelin songs you've ever heard. He sees a stairway to heaven with angels going up and down. And the story reads that Jacob finds his purpose in life through that dream. Everything changes for him. When he wakes, nothing's the same. And he says this line, God was in this place and I didn't even know it. And then according to some of our oldest teachers, our rabbis, he does something amazing. Jacob takes this experience and finds meaning for his life and how he's going to live. You see, according to our tradition, we're all made in the image of God. Not literally, necessarily, but there's something special in each of us. And when Jacob sees that and he applies it to that moment, suddenly he goes from God was in this place to I brought something of God into this place. In some senses, he became Emmanuel, just like Jesus hundreds and thousands of years later. But it's even larger for that because that same process works for us, right? We can all be Emmanuel. We can all be God with us. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, that's a little bit crazy. That's not how this whole thing works. But you know what? Jesus tells a story when he's an adult. He says, he's kind of recounting his understanding of God. And he says this, when we love, God is. He's pushing the idea of God way outside of something that sits outside of us. Something that watches over us. Something that intervenes when something goes wrong for us. Or the old guy who keeps track of all the bad crap we do, right? No, Jesus says when we love, God is. And when Jacob loves, he's Emmanuel, God with the people around him. And when we love in the same way, we are Emmanuel, just like Jesus. And so the final question I want to ask you today is this, how can we be Emmanuel in our worlds? How can we express love for the people all around us? How do we express love for the people that, let's be honest, we don't want to see in an hour from now? We all have them, don't we? Those people who were alienated from this Christmas season for a reason. But even more than that, how do we express love for those who are suffering this holiday season? Suffering financially or relationally or emotionally, it doesn't matter. Imagine for a second that if we're Emmanuel in those moments, if we're God with us, what happens? Do we bring drama? Or do we bring love and peace and patience? Imagine how the people we interact with in the next couple of days would be uplifted if we expressed Emmanuel. And then imagine that same love spreading through the people we know into the people they know and into the people they know. And love spreading through this whole world. Imagine you being the beginning of changing the world through all the people you interact with. Isn't that Emmanuel? And so, folks, that's the challenge we're taking from the Christmas story this season. How do we live as love? How do we express Emmanuel in our worlds?
You know, when I hear Vince talk about this concept of Emmanuel, God with us, this concept that somehow something in what I do, in my action, that God could be manifest. He could be felt in the life of someone else. When I think about that concept, my mind starts racing to the stories over this past year. I think about Cole right here. You see, we have one of the greatest student programs in the city. It's called Switch. Yeah. Anyone that has teenagers that are involved in it, you're the ones clapping, because we have kids who have benefited from that program. My kids are still, we give their right arm for that thing. Kids come out and lives get changed through this thing from, what, grade five right up till the end of high school. Sorry. I've been cold. I've been sick. So, but this story chokes me up. Anyways, there's some kids that don't get to go on everything that Switch does. These weekend trips, you can't do it if you're a kid who requires extra assistance and help. And so, anyways, I was thinking about this. Past fall, we yelled this, geez, I'm a mess. Just hang on here. So Carmen throws on this big Switch getaway. It's 3 days out near Sundry. And it's like the weekend of all weekends for these kids. They play so hard. Kids that have never been a part of a youth group come out and experience that for the first time, and they're just like, they don't know what hit them. It's the best thing. If I ever talk to a parent who's been coming and they're saying, I'm trying to get my kid, I say, get them on that weekend. Get them on that weekend if you can. Do whatever you can. You won't regret it, and they won't. But for a boy in our community named Cole, who has Down syndrome, that weekend's off limits, right? Typically. But I'm thinking of this girl named Nicola. Comes up, she's one of our Switch student workers, but she's also a social worker. She says, could we make a way for Cole to come on the Switch weekend? I got him. Parents, you stay home. Hang out. Cole comes with me. So Cole went out with all the crew out to Sundry for our big Switch weekend getaway. And I'm telling you, all the kids that were there were impacted by Cole being there. And it was so great to see Cole coming along. You see, these are the moments when it's like, they're like divine moments. They poke through. Thinking about another little girl down in our children's class this year, having a rough morning. They're talking about joyfulness, asking the kids, what do you got to be joyful for? This little girl, she said, I don't think I got anything to be joyful for. And that children's worker looked over and just sensed that something might not be quite okay. That flagged some, oh, thank you.
Bless your heart.
There we go. It's not wine, don't worry. That children's worker flagged something in that little girl and then waited until after the class for her parents to arrive, and they began a discussion. That discussion sparked other stuff that had already, there had been wonderings and there had been concerns, and professional help got involved. And I mean, this girl is incredibly supported now. And those are the moments, those are the unseen moments that happen in the bowels of life that we don't often hear about out here, where it's like God shows up. I think about the 24-foot U-Haul that called out here last Sunday after so many of you families dug deep to put together these massive hampers for 15 impoverished families, well-deserving families in our city, so that that truck could go and land on their doorstep and just blow them away, making their Christmas so bright. I'm thinking about the GoFundMe pages, the countless GoFundMe pages that were started this year by some members of our community, friends and families of loved ones and concerned people who are going through sickness, people who have faced tragedy. Why? Because you care and you say, you know what? I think I can do something here that's going to make a little difference. I think about the hours that got babysat for some single mom in need. I'm thinking about rents that got paid by someone who knew if they didn't, that person might not have a place. I'm thinking about cars that got fixed. The stories just keep flooding through my mind of people who understand what Emmanuel, God with us, means. And if after sharing all the stories you're still not sure, I think you could probably just think into your own life of the times when someone showed up unannounced. Someone did something for you that was nothing short of divine in that moment. You needed it. This is the power of Emmanuel, God with us. The Christmas story, it happened 2,000 years ago, but it is happening. It happened every day this past year, and it's happening even this Christmas right now. It might just happen in your living room tonight or tomorrow. It will happen as you open your ears and your eyes to those around you. As you get on the phone, you patch up that issue that you had with that family member. Or you extend that olive branch to someone in your family you've just been struggling with. Maybe I don't know what it's going to look like. But you and I, we can celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, in a very tangible and real way tonight, right now. We don't have to look back 2,000 years. We can experience it right now as we think of the times we have experienced it in my own life. That is my hope and prayer for you this week. This evening, as you grab onto your family, or maybe you're isolated tonight and you're going, huh, you know what? I don't have a lot of those moments to think back on. I'm thinking about a few people right now who are going, you know what? I haven't experienced Emmanuel, God with us. I haven't been the recipient. I haven't been the one giving that. I've watched over this past year some that have been doing some hard work in their own lives. Some that have stepped into recovery. Some that have stepped back into recovery. Some that have gone into counseling, into group therapy, into couple therapy. Some that are doing some hard work so that they can experience one day the beauty of these God with us Emmanuel moments. Don't be discouraged if you're on the front end of some of that work. Oh, a bright day is coming. And those moments, they start appearing more and more as we do the hard work, don't they? Yeah. It's a night of encouragement, folks. We have something to celebrate in that God is truly here with us. He might or she might be sitting right beside you. That's pretty special. Careful how you talk to them tonight. We're going to close. Ben's going to play another song. But I invite you to think even for a moment as we celebrate on Christmas Eve and this year comes to an end. Maybe you can think about your own personal God with us, Emmanuel moments. Allow gratitude to fill your own heart. Maybe be challenged by perhaps a moment that you're being invited into to play that role. Maybe even as soon as tonight. Okay, so just a little house cleaning before we wrap up and send you back out to love on each other. And for some that want to rush out and get back to family and turkey dinners, if that's the case, or opening presents. We would like, we always actually traditionally take an offering at this time and just give everyone an opportunity to be able to support what we do here at Friends Church. And we change things up, like we don't pass the baskets anymore. That's kind of, it's old school, I'm told. So a lot of our community who are part here, they donate online actually through our website and then through this app that we have, Friends Church app. You can do that, but you also can do it old school. At the back there, there's a table there with offering envelopes. You could put that in and pop that in. Some people like to get a tax receipt before the end of the year, and it's still a privilege that we have here being a church. And so if you would like to make a donation of any size, even of the larger variety, you know, don't shy away from that too. But if you've been thinking about doing one, it's not too late to get it in, and the tax receipts will go out at the beginning of the year. So that will happen. Well, after we've kind of finished up, or if you want to do it on your phone right now. I want to let you know about a series that we're kicking off here in the new year. It's called Moving On, and it really is about forgiveness. It's about being able to live a life free of relational scar tissue of our past. And it's amazing how many people we find that are being triggered in the most unexpected moments of their lives right now because of stuff that's unresolved from former chapters. And it's weird. We kind of think that this stuff will just go away, but it doesn't. It kind of burrows in, locks in, and it causes you to react to things that people will say. It will trigger you at the most inopportune moments. It'll put you into flight mode or fight mode pretty easily when someone says something that's similar to something someone used to say. You know what I'm saying? We live with these skeletons, and they have a way of tugging and haunting our lives. And we just think it's time that we start uprooting this and making it go away. So if you've found yourself perhaps at times bitten by chapters of your past, if I were to ask you, is there someone that you're struggling to forgive and you think of a name right away, you know what? You might want to consider this. But even if that isn't you, this series is going to be loaded with some incredible advice and wisdom, age-old wisdom, that can be passed on to our younger generations, that can be role-modeled, and if anything, it can be a powerful reminder of a better way to live. So it starts January 5th. You want to be there, all right? I think that's it. I think that's all you got, all right? Look, that wasn't that painful, was it? I hope maybe it got some narratives going tonight. It got you thinking about more than just the sentimental, nostalgic version of the nativity scene, but perhaps something that can be going on right now in your own life. Yeah, let's make the most of this Christmas, shall we? Look, at the doors are open, and the bars, I think, still open. And we're not rushing out of here, so don't feel like you have to get up and leave. By all means, maybe you're going to see some people that you haven't seen in a while, and so don't feel like you have to rush out. The band are going to play, and we're just really happy that you could be here and celebrating Christmas Eve with us. And we hope we'll see you in the new year. Have a great Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm.